And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I'm excited and happy that it's in St. Louis.
Is Canetto's still open up on the hill, by the way?
I'm just going to try to play a role. And then, lo and behold, you know, he's starting to realize, wait, I'm a really good player, too.
It was kind of a shock just seeing how different the game is in college compared to high school.
Cullen, right now I think it's a tear. I think it's ACL tear. Yes, so he's out.
It's still all about matchup, and I think Missouri matches up well.
I didn't like the intensity of our defense.
Got to be able to really impose the role on the defensive end, get steals, get those breakaway layups.
As I've always said, preseason rankings, they're nice, man, but they don't really mean anything.
Dave!
You separate the wheat from the chaff. Looking forward to my time with him.
What I'm doing is helping other people and inspiring them. I mean, what more can you ask for? That's the best trophy you can ever ask for.
I'll be up there Wednesday night, Thursday night, well, maybe Friday night.
Hey, welcome in. Hour number two, kicking things off with dining plans for head coach John Calipari. As he wraps up our montage, head coach Consuelo Martin, an attorney meet in St. Louis this year. And if you're wanting to get out there, I would suggest you buy your tickets like now.
15 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, 15 minutes ago would have been ideal, but now get them. Coach Cal talking about a particular restaurant up on the hill. Jarrett Sutton on Jonte Porter's mentality heading into this season and how it has changed over the course of the season. Then Jonte Porter on the difference between the high school game and the basketball, college basketball. And then head coach Consuelo Martin with the official news about Cullen VanLeer, done, torn ACL. Jarrett Sutton, Missouri women's basketball. If you had to look at all the brackets, being shipped out on the road into the Lexington bracket, not necessarily a bad thing. Head coach Robin Pinchton, and that was his post-Texas A&M, talking about defense and how she wasn't happy then. I can't imagine she's been thrilled. She was thrilled during the SEC tournament. And Jarrett talking about the defensive calling card. Mike Jones, Radford head coach. They were picked 7th in the preseason, and they won their tournament. New Ian Scruggs Show. WGN Sports, Jerry Jones sounding incredibly excited to meet Roger Goodell and Shaq Griffin. And then Coach Cal going to eat at Canetto's how many times, Coach? Wednesday night? Thursday night? Maybe Friday night? Maybe not. Maybe Friday night? Bill Conley, Rock Am Nation. How many times do you eat at a particular restaurant over the course of a week?
Over a week? I mean, you know, if it's like attached to a hotel or something and I can't get away, then, you know, like 7. But, if you're in a city like St. Louis and you've got to go somewhere, you can probably spread the love around a little bit. Even if you stay on the hill, you can spread the love around a little bit, I think.
Well, and you might want to, after eating at one restaurant, actually walk to the next one to kind
exactly.
of, you know, make those.
You have an appetizer at one,
yeah.
And a main course at another, a dessert at another.
Yeah. Oh, the moving meal. That's good. That way your toasted raviolis are a negative calorie food.
Sure, yeah, as long as you've walked at least, 20 feet, that burns it off, right? I mean, my math might be a little off on that, I'm not sure.
I think it's only like 18, maybe 18
oh,
feet
okay.
there.
Gotcha.
So anyway, all right, Bill Conley, Rock Am Nation, joining us here on The Closers. You can find him on Twitter at @SBN_BillC, and then read the work at Rock Am as well, including game previews and study halls, which we utilize a lot here on the show. All right, I want to talk more about it in the second segment here, because that's when we really focus on Missouri. But all across college basketball right now, all eyes popped for St. Louis with the news that Michael Porter Jr. will return. How big of a ripple was that particular stone across the college basketball front?
Well, it's going to make Missouri the story of college basketball for a couple of days here, and you know, especially if Missouri at least takes care of business against Georgia or Vanderbilt. I'm assuming Georgia, but that's probably an assumption I shouldn't make. It's exciting, and imagine being a member of the NCAA tournament committee now, where you've got to seed teams based on both kind of the quality aspect and the most deserving aspect and everything else, and trying to figure out it with a one or two or three game sample where Missouri should go. If they lose to Georgia or Vanderbilt, then I guess the answer is pretty easy. But it gets kind of weird if Missouri wins a couple of games here in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, Bill, it certainly does. And I mean, is, you know, with a looming 2018 class still in flux, a couple big names still in play, and everything else going on, I mean, being the darling, being the above the fold team, even as a presumptive 9-8 seed, something like that, for 72 hours, seems like a pretty positive thing for this program.
You would have to think so, yeah, especially with a certain point guard in St. Louis named Ramey, who appears to still be available. It cannot hurt. You don't know if it'll help. It absolutely cannot hurt. And it does really seem like, you know, Kaza Martin has pushed so many right buttons when it comes to the way this has been handled, the way the way the team moved on past the injury, and now the publicity that they're going to get with the comeback. It's certainly not a bad thing. We'll see how much it helps. It will absolutely not hurt.
I know we're talking about the seeding and everything, and I want to get to a couple of the national pieces in just a second, but if you're the NCAA tournament committee and you're sitting there on Sunday, a lot of it is based on, you know, the body of work, your quadrant run wins, and all the rest of that stuff. But how about the intangibles? Because it doesn't seem like they've really had to deal with this much since, I think, you know, what was it, Utah with Kenyon Martin breaking the leg right before the tournament, so he was done, and that removed a key cog for them. And then Duke a couple of years ago when they had a player return after missing all but the first 8 games of the season.
Yeah, Cincinnati with Kenyon Martin.
Cincinnati, that
was kind of the reverse situation, and they still got the one seed. So mm-hmm. I assume, you know, unless there's a pretty clear, like if they, you know, beat Kentucky, they win the first game, beat Kentucky, maybe make the finals even, you know, unless there's a clear difference in quality, then yeah, maybe they just default to, hey, this is the team they've been. They were an 8 seed before he showed up, so they're an 8 seed. Maybe they're a 7 if you know, you beat Kentucky. Maybe they play that card. But if it's blatantly obvious there's a difference in quality, Missouri has just enough time to really plant a seed in the committee's collective brain about moving to a 7 or a 6 or whatever. And so, you know, that's best case scenario. Let's see what happens if they win a few games. Why not
go out and win a few games? Let's see, and then put, you know, let the committee have that heartburn on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Bill Conley,
let a potential 2 seed have the heartburn of drawing a 7 seed with a bullet, so to speak, like Missouri in that instance.
Yeah, that would be the coach that you interview the next day, and you go, Coach, why'd you get that bruise on your forehead? We got Missouri in the opener. Yeah, that was just delightful for us. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nations on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. This is a tournament that is in St. Louis right now for this tournament. Then it exits back out again. It's going to make a pit stop in Orlando, and it's going to be down back in Nashville again before it circles back. If you're the city of St. Louis, how important is it to you to try to shoehorn your way in maybe a little bit earlier down the road to get this tournament back just for the exposure in the Midwest of the SEC Conference?
Well, it's because of the arrangement with Nashville, whatever it is, being 3 on and 1 off most of the time, and with some of these things kind of planned in advance, I don't know if they're going to be able to make such a lasting impression that it changes that equation a little bit. But it is important to keep it, you know, to get it however many, you know, 1 out of X years. It is certainly going to be a good thing if there's a nice showing. I saw that there were initially some tickets still available to tomorrow's early session, which was, you know, kind of, you know, everything else aside, was kind of disappointing since that's when the closest team plays. I assume those tickets will not be available anymore, but yeah, you hope as a city that St. Louis shows well and certainly officially becomes part of the SEC landscape. But, you know, we'll pretend it worked for the Big Ten in New York, so it can work for the SEC in St. Louis.
Bill, just as much, you know, with the addition of Michael Porter Jr., not knowing how much he plays and what shape he's in, but, you know, what does this do? I mean, not just from a seeding standpoint, but, I mean, what, you know, Bovada has had Mizzou's odds all over the place for national-type things all year. You know, where is the ceiling? What do the odds do if Michael Porter Jr. comes back, plays a couple games, and is fairly dominant?
Yeah, I mean, Missouri has already shown that they can hang. You know, they beat Tennessee, nearly beat West Virginia. Teams in that 3-4 seed range or something to that effect. Not necessarily a one seed or anything, but they've already shown a relatively high ceiling here. And so, yeah, if you come in and you beat a Kentucky and Auburn and kind of verify that ceiling, it is hard to guess what effect that might have on the committee. But in terms of odds, all Vegas needs to see is that people are willing to bet on something. And so you would assume that that'll be a pretty attractive line that starts to form in Vegas when it comes to Missouri's odds of winning the region, winning the tournament or whatever. But it's fun to go down that road. I'm just hoping to see, you know, basically we now get to watch Missouri, Michael Porter Jr. in a Missouri uniform for 2-10 games, somewhere between early exits in the next two tournaments and 4 games in the SEC and 6 in the NCAA. I'm just hoping to see as many as possible. We've been waiting a while to see this, and just for the pure benefit of watching him play in black and gold, here's to hoping he gets at least a few games here.
Yep. Bill Connolly, Rock Him Nation, with us here on the Closers. All right. SEC awards were handed out. Your coach of the year, not Bruce Pearl, but rather you get Tennessee's Rick Barnes in as your coach of the year. Bruce is a little upset, though, that none of his players were on the SEC, all-SEC first team. Is he right to be upset, or was there just enough talent throughout this league that it superseded what Auburn did?
Yeah, if I'm Auburn's coach, I'm certainly pushing that, you know, pointing out that, you know, this doesn't happen. You win the conference and you don't get a first team guy. I'm certainly pointing that out. But, you know, as you know, the last couple of days at Rock M, we've had Sam Snelling and Matt Harris putting together their all SEC team, their coach of the year and all that. Bottom line is there were 8 to 10 guys who were, you know, had a very, very good case for making the first team. So if one of Auburn's didn't, you could say it's a conspiracy if you want. But really, I mean, the guys who made the team were deserving. So you can only take that so far. And as far as Pearl goes, two things at play here. I mean, number one, as Sam and Matt pointed out in their piece today, you know, part of the reason why Auburn came out of nowhere this year is because they underachieved last year. You know, they had the recruits, they had the talent to do better last year, and so it was a little bit of a surprise, partially because of their own underachieving. Mm-hmm. And then also, it is – Bruce Pearl does some gross things, you know, in terms of stonewalling his own school's investigation into all the FBI goings on and whatnot. Back in September and October, there was a rumor that he was going to get fired basically for insubordination.
Right.
Back in October. So if that kind of grosses you out, and if you would rather feel a little bit better about your vote, then, I mean, the fact that Rick Barnes and Konzo Martin were both very deserving candidates as well, then it was pretty easy to talk yourself into voting for somebody else if you wanted to go down that road. I don't have a vote. I didn't talk to anybody who voted, so I can't talk about their rationale. But you had two different reasons there for voting for somebody other than Pearl, and you know, for all we know, Barnes got one more vote.
Well, and seeing I was stuck on the Pearl painting his torso orange when he was the head coach at Tennessee. I thought
that was
kind
of gross.
You can't
ever move past that. Once you can't unsee it.
No. Once you saw that thing, that is just rooted in the memory. It just kind of overtakes everything else. You mentioned the Big Ten trying to take over the city of New York by holding their tournament last weekend. How much harm does that do in the tournament selection committee's eyes to have a major Power 5 conference tournament that early in the process?
I don't think it probably affects the committee all that much. I'm curious how it affects Big Ten teams, because that is a decent-sized gap, you know, almost 2 weeks, basically, between games, and we'll see what that means at this point. It is weird, though. I mean, and you know, it was a very insistent thing that the Big Ten did there, basically not only saying, we want in New York, but we're willing to go earlier than everybody else to do it. I mean, maybe it pays off for all we know. Maybe everybody gets rested and they have a nice run here in the NCAAs. But I can't imagine, as far as the committee goes, I can't imagine it would really impact them all that much. Those names are on paper for a while, and, you know, they're just there. I doubt the absence, you know, makes the heart, you know, whatever, makes the committee forget. I doubt that is going to be a problem.
Yeah, it was great right up until the rest of that line was makes the heart grow fonder, then it kind of fumbled away. Well, it is a bowl-sized line, a layoff for the Big Ten, so I don't know if it's going to affect their performance just like it does in football.
Well, these games mean a little more than bowls do, so I would assume that everybody shows up, but we'll see.
Okay. All righty. Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation. Shall we talk Mizzou a little bit more in depth next segment?
That sounds great.
All righty. We will do that. Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation. We'll be right back.
It's the Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here as hour number two rolls merrily along with a couple of technical difficulties off air. So we got them resolved and we will resume now with Bill Connolly from Rock M Nation. This segment here, we always concentrate on Missouri, and we've got two tournament teams that are headed out. One is to the SEC tournament. The ladies exited out last Friday. The men will start tomorrow afternoon at 2:35. Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. And I would encourage you to read the work over at Rock M Nation. Is really, really solid, especially for the statistical in mind of you people. All right. Missouri finishes this season with 20 wins. If I gave you the lineup that finished this year prior to the Cullen Van Leer injury, so you had 8 scholarship players and Brett Rau. And I, you know what? I'm feeling really generous today. I will actually throw in Adam Wolf as well.
Okay.
Where would you have predicted this that as-constructed Missouri team to have finished in the SEC?
Well, I mean, a lot of us were projecting. I mean, it's so hard to predict anything coming into the year, but a lot of us were homing in on that 20-win range with Michael Porter Jr.
Right.
And that's just kind of a crazy thing to say. Well, I mean, like I've written a couple of times to Rock M now, you know, at the beginning of the year, the media, I believe, projected Missouri fifth with Michael Porter Jr. They finished fifth, and he played 2 minutes. And as much as I love that, you know, he averaged a point a minute in a Missouri uniform line, you know, he really, like, the fact that they achieved at that level without him is pretty incredible. And we'll see what happens now. It's a completely different ballgame. By the way, how would you like to be Brett Rau? You know, Cullen Van Leer goes down, and you're part of the little bitty greedy voice in your head thinking, okay, now's my time. And then Michael Porter Jr. comes back.
And I'm just a walk-on.
If Mike doesn't play, they almost don't have a choice but to play Rau at least 5, 6, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen now.
But the question was, if the team that ended the season without Michael Porter Jr. and as constructed with Cassius and Jonte, Tillman, Purrier, Barnett and company, no Michael Porter Jr., no Blake Harris, no Terrence Phillips. You take all of that. Where would you have predicted that team to have finished?
Yeah, no, without Phillips especially, because at the end of the year I was kind of expecting a decent amount from him. They lost their point guards. They lost, for all intents and purposes, 3 point guards and Michael Porter Jr., and that's a really crazy thing. And there's still talent. You know, that's the thing we got to – you know, keep in mind here, you still had Jonte Porter, 5-star. You had 5-star Jeremiah Tillman, 4-star Jordan Barnett, for that matter. But just the pure number of bodies at play here and the complete lack of a bench, the complete lack of a natural point guard, it would have been very easy to assume that's more like a 15 or 16-win team, I think.
Okay, now you step forward. Now the news coming out earlier today that Michael Porter Jr. Will return. Konzo Martin says he won't start, but he'll probably get about 20 to 25 minutes. Now you're not really stealing a lot of minutes from other guys, except they might look at this as a chance of, wow, I finally get a chance to rest a little bit. What does he do with the dynamic of how this team has kind of configured itself on offense this year?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, the best case scenario here is he just creates some easy possessions. You know, he is able, like you said, he's able to get Cassius Robertson some rest. Even if Robertson's still on the court, he's not as much is required of him. That was the interesting thing when Van Leer went down. He was averaging something like 14, 15 minutes per game in SEC play. And if Michael Porter doesn't come back, you got to do math like, who gets those minutes? Cassius is out here averaging like 39 minutes a game or something. Jordan Barnett's almost maxed out. Jordan Geist was averaging like 34 a game. So just trying to figure out where to give guys more of a load was a pretty big thing. And like I said, Brett Rau is probably in line for some of those minutes. So, yeah, if he's serious about Porter getting 20, 25 minutes, 15 of those come from Van Leer. And then you can at least, 5 to 10 for Barnett or whoever. That's probably not a bad thing, especially when you're thinking about just the wear and tear involved and the fact that you've got an NCAA tournament to prepare for next week. It's probably not the worst time to get some of those guys at least a couple extra minutes of rest.
The scouting of Mizzou now becomes even more of a headache. I mean, it was a headache before from the standpoint of just you had three, four, five guys who all contributed to the winning effort. Okay, maybe four guys who contributed to the winning effort on any given night and could kind of hurt you. But you know, as when you throw someone like Michael Porter Jr. in the mix, who, you know, people have worried that the ball sticks a little and it changes the nature of the offense. You know, what does that do for scouting this team moving into, you know, a tournament type, you know, setting?
Well, I mean, scouting wise, yeah, it makes, you know, you can watch a whole bunch of Missouri film and not have a single idea of what Missouri is about to do. But I do think this is more of a, I think the ball will stick at times. I think what you can kind of, what you would hopefully see and what Konzo Martin probably aims for is just kind of a certain number of Michael possessions, like run the offense as intended, because, I mean, that is the one thing Missouri had going this year is, I mean, there was a lot of ball movement. That meant a lot of turnovers. It also meant a lot of assists, and it meant a lot of ball distribution and different guys getting involved. So, yeah, if it becomes a thing where suddenly you revert to just, hey, Michael, bring the ball up the court and score, then that's a problem. I doubt that's the case, though. I would assume that there's the offense, and then there's the Michael possessions, and you know, that'll kind of it will end up figuring that out, you know, the ratio of that out based on how Porter plays when he first gets in the game.
How deep can this team go?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking of, you know, the team that almost beat West Virginia and beat Tennessee and all that, and Kentucky and whatnot, mm-hmm. you think about that team, and then you add a potential, well, a blue chipper, a potential load scorer, apparently a guy who's never going to miss a three-pointer, according to that video that was floating around online from practice earlier today, then why, this is a, you're not going to predict this team to win the national title or anything, but if you're talking about any individual game, why couldn't they win any individual game this year with that kind of lineup? They showed their resilience, they showed their toughness and all that, and now they suddenly have the biggest sudden jolt of offense in that you can possibly have heading into the postseason. You can win any specific game on the schedule from here on out.
Does this, I mean, obviously it helps from a Mizzou standpoint, but in particular, Jeremiah Tillman and Jontay Porter with Michael's size, but probably playing near the perimeter, more of a slasher type player. You know, does this allow Jontay to become even more of a free agent? Does it take some of the onus off Jeremiah Tillman from needing to bang and get fouls, or do they need to stay within their roles and let Michael come to them?
Yeah, I would say that this helps Tillman as much as anybody, just because, you know, the lane will be less clogged if you've got a 6'10 three-point shooter and major scorer on the perimeter. And we've seen if he gets the ball in certain post positions, it doesn't happen 15 times a game, but it typically happens at least two or three or four. If he just gets the ball exactly where he wants it on the post, he's going to make a move and score. And if there are fewer bodies down in there, if the defense is a little more stretched out, a little more stressed out, then I think that's going to create opportunities for him more than anybody else. And I mean, Jontay, we're going to assume that Jontay knows how to play with his brother at this point as much as it's happened in the past. Whether that means he moves more inside because Michael's on the perimeter, we'll see. But yeah, I think it really cannot hurt at this point. This is a good team, and so there's obviously people talking about chemistry issues and all that, or the ball stopping. Clearly, that's on the table, at least, but it's really hard to envision Missouri being worse in the end. If there are some more, you know, kind of stopped ball possessions, there are also probably some more easy points along the way, too.
Okay, we're going to have to do our picks and our trifectas tomorrow, because we'll finally figure out who Missouri will play in that opening round. Jay has been itching all season to pick Michael Porter Jr. Will he be on safe ground tomorrow to pick MPJ as part of the trifecta?
You know, especially if Konzo is serious about him playing 20 or 25 minutes. But I mean, what I like about the way this team is built now is it's not a requirement. He can really probably go out there and blend in for a while. It's not like, hooray, you're back. Here's the ball. Go do things. Missouri has proven they can do some things. And that kind of takes some of the pressure off of him. He can kind of be a team player a little bit if he wants to. If you know, I think that's in his nature to do that anyway. So he doesn't have to force the issue, and that can only be a good thing. But now's the time for extreme optimism. So if he's playing 20 or 25 minutes, one's going to assume he's going to make a lot of shots and grab some rebounds and probably threaten that trifecta.
Oh, okay. So We'll see how confident Jay is tomorrow on this particular one. Bill Connolly,
I'm choosing MPJ.
Bro, this is your chance.
I'm removing all speculation.
Okay.
Just like Mizzou, I'm removing all speculation early.
All right. Well, that's good because you've waited all year to be able to do this particular thing.
I'm aware.
you almost did it against Arkansas. That would have really helped me out if you'd have done that.
Right.
All right, Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, as we wrap this thing up. The Missouri women exited early from the SEC tournament. Now, they did win their first game. It was not a pretty one against Ole Miss, and they lost an even less pretty one against Georgia. Right now, they're on the road, but they're in that Lexington region with Louisville as the one seed. If you're Missouri women's basketball right now, are you okay with basically having to travel anywhere except the UConn bracket?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the goal for anybody. You know, you don't have to worry about getting put in the Mississippi State bracket, probably. I guess technically you could, but being an SEC mate, that makes it at least slightly unlikely. But, you know, that's the landmine that everybody's trying to avoid right now. College basketball has a clear number one, really a clear number two in Mississippi State, and a whole bunch of just a rotating cast of characters after that point. And so really, yeah, that's your main goal. You want to host. You know, there's still a little bit of a chance that Missouri can get a four seed and host, and that'd be awesome. But if you're given the option of hosting as the four in UConn's bracket or ending up a five in somebody else's, you probably take the five, as cool as hosting would be.
All righty, Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation. Bill, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy watching, by the way, SEC tournament. It just kind of got more interesting.
A little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. And that will kick off tonight. The men will kick off at 6:30, Georgia and Vanderbilt. And the winner of that one will get Missouri tomorrow afternoon. We'll be right back. We've got more of the closers here in hour number two, and we will do that right after this.
Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back. Both hands on the steering wheel, if you would please. Michael Porter Jr. is back. I mean, not his back, but he is back to play for reals. Not just word on the street.
Not just word on the street.
This is actual breaking news. It happened earlier this afternoon. He has been, as you are all aware, he was cleared to play a couple of weeks ago. Slowly working his way back in. And then yesterday after practice, and he told Coach Martin that he was good to go. They had another discussion today after shoot around, and thumbs up all the way around. Coach Martin thinks 20 to 25 minutes tomorrow afternoon when Missouri will tip things off at about 2:30. They'll play the winner of tonight's game between Georgia and Vanderbilt, and that tips off in about 23 minutes, give or take. I mean,
sure,
it's listed as a 6 o'clock tip.
Right.
We have no idea.
No idea.
Could be 6:05. Could be 6:07. Could be 6:03.
The possibilities are endless.
They are. Anyway, stick with it. You'll find out tonight after that first game who Missouri will play tomorrow afternoon in the 2:30 block and that afternoon session at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The SEC Network has the full coverage for you. Meanwhile, the women's, as we talked about with Athletic Director Bob Burchard in the first hour, and the AMC Coach of the Year, both Bob Burchard and Taylor Posehl. Coach Posehl's Lady Cougars are hitting the road to Rimrock Auto Arena at Metro Park in Billings, Montana. I didn't do that quite right, did I?
Well, I mean, no, it sounded great.
When would this be? Next week, right? Thursday. Rimrock Auto Arena at Metro Park in Billings, Montana. Better?
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah. I just want to see Truckzilla transform from an ordinary truck into a 30-foot fire-breathing monster now.
Thursday. One day only. No, hopefully it's not just one day. Hopefully it's for the opponent. Benedictine will be one day only. Columbia College, for the ladies, received their seeding earlier today. They are a two seed in the Dewar bracket. They will face Benedictine Wednesday morning. Get up early, grab breakfast, grab a couple of extra cups of coffee, then park it and watch. You can view it on Stretch Internet. They will be live streaming these early games. It is a 9:30 Central Time tip. Number 2 seed Columbia and number 7 seed Benedictine. Now, The other teams that are involved from the AMC Conference, Freed Hardeman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Lindenwood Belleville and Lyon. Lyon Scots.
And also locally, Central Methodist.
Right, and Central Methodist, the other team that's involved from the local area. Here's where I think a lot of people would have a problem with. Columbia College is a two seed. Freed Hardeman, who Columbia College beat twice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Two out of three.
Beat him once, actually, as the number one team in the country.
Yes.
Freed Hardeman is the one seed.
Yep.
One seed. In the Liston bracket. I think if you're a Columbia Cougar fan, and you look at this bracket, you go, how? Explain me.
Could be a very interesting Final Four matchup.
Could be an all AMC Final Four.
Yeah.
If things fall out the way you would like it to, but because all four teams are in opposite brackets. But Columbia College will play Wednesday morning. That is set for 9:30 Central Time. And then Freed Hardeman will play the evening session. They have a 5 o'clock tip time. They will take on the Masters. Sounds intimidating. Wax on, wax off.
Tradition unlike any other.
Oh, not that Masters? Do you have to drive the azalea bush?
I don't know.
Okay.
Watch out for Amen Corner.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder which corner of the basketball court's Amen Corner for the Masters.
Yeah. I don't know. They're out of California, so whatever corner they want it to be.
West.
Probably. So that's begins next week. Now, the men will find out here in about 20 minutes as their selection show will take place at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Also of interest, I mean, and I don't know, I mean, the NCAA makes this big thing about not just your quadrant wins, now the new thing with quadrant 1, 2, 3, 4 wins and your RPI and your BPI and all the other alphabet soup things, but they also talk a lot about what you look like down the stretch, right? Okay, what team has looked better than Columbia College down the stretch 22 in a row?
Right, what's it take? Regular season conference champions, conference tournament champions.
Defeated
number one team, Freed Hardeman at the time. Right. Defeated them again.
When they were the number two ranked team.
In the conference tournament.
Yeah.
But boy, that 29-4 versus 28-5, I guess that just tripped up the committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I don't know if I'm as more angry about that one as or am the way the reveal show has been reconstituted to resemble absolutely nothing that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it's whatever.
Okay. I mean, I'm glad. Listen, for the first 10 minutes, you sit there, you watch all 68 teams are revealed, go about your day, then come back, print out the brackets, and figure it out from there. Because they will have, the next 30 minutes of the show will be the bracket reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll break, and then they'll come back and talk about each one of the bracket matchups on an individual basis. So that is next week. Coming up tonight at Scott Trade, you get Georgia Vanderbilt, and then you will get Ole Miss tipping things off. Ole Miss is the 14th seed. This won't go well tonight for them.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Is there a more surprising... I was looking at the brackets earlier, and as you head in toward the tournament and everything tonight, in South Carolina. By the way, if you've not seen it on SEC Network, find the story on the basketball homepage about Frank Martin. That is something else.
Mm-hmm.
About his experience. It was right before he got the job with K-State. The year before he got the job with K-State, nearly died.
Yep.
That's a great story. But number 11, South Carolina, number 14, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a hot mess right now. As they are without their head coach. They're in an interim head coach basis right now, and they'll go from there. And the winner of that one will take on number 6, Arkansas, as the final game of the day tomorrow. Arkansas already a player short as they dismissed kind of a bit player, but still you're talking about minutes in a tournament that if you want to win this, You got to win four games in a row. But Arkansas sitting there without a paired-up partner tomorrow afternoon. So the docket tomorrow begins with Alabama and Texas A&M at noon, then Missouri and the winner of Georgia-Vanderbilt at about 2:30. The evening session begins at 6, LSU, Mississippi State, and then that will be followed by Arkansas and the winner of South Carolina, Ole Miss. Still waiting for everybody else to hash that out. Auburn. They're very ticked off Auburn team, by the way. Beginning with the head coach right on down the line. You know, I know, cry me a river. Then number four, Kentucky. It's part of the morning session. Then number two, Tennessee. And number three, Florida will make up the evening session. And those, the afternoon session on Friday will be carried by ESPN. Evening session by SEC Network. And then ESPN has the semifinals Saturday and then the championship game on Sunday. And that championship game, by the way, has been moved up from previous years, has moved up down to a noon tip so that they're done in time for the selection committee to look at the results, sift through the debris, and come up with a conclusion.
Right.
So, by the way, if you missed it, Michael Porter Jr. is back.
I just, you know, with Michael Porter Jr. back especially, I just really hope that the NCAA works their MUKU magic. I just really need that pod in my life.
Well, because you want to see if Bill Self is actually going to follow up on his word that nobody cares about the game, so he's just going to forfeit, right?
Well, I mean, he's never said that. He said it just doesn't matter.
Right.
And I mean, I just truly think that the moral turpitude and his fiber, I mean, he should that's how he should handle it. Since no one cares at all.
Right.
I mean, why bother playing it?
For charity?
Nah. Not this time, I don't think.
Crayons and coloring books?
Well.
Also known as finals week at KU.
Sure.
Basketball tonight, by the way, here on KFRU. As Rockbridge will head west to Sedalia, as they will be at State Fair Community College, and they will take on Willard. That is boys class 5, round of 16 action. That tip time is set for about 7:45 this evening. The Battle Spartans will head east to Maryville University. They are set to take on Fort Zumwalt South tonight. That tip time is about 7:45 as well. And I'm trying to bring up my brackets here. There we go. And that is a couple of days from right now. And then also tonight, the Lady Jays are in action this evening. They have a 6 o'clock tip tonight against Francis Howell. So good luck to the Lady Jays. Good luck to the Rockbridge boys tonight. And also good luck to the Battle Spartans. And if you missed it, yesterday Blair Oaks has a new head coach. And it's a familiar face as Ted LePage moves from the Jays. Well, let's see. Move from Blair Oaks to Jeff City. Jeff City to Blair Oaks.
Yeah.
So there you go. 442-8255. Got time to squeeze this in before we take a quick little step aside. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Yeah, your comment about Bill Self over Kansas. Yeah. Just drop the moral, and he's just a terp.
Oh, he's from Maryland. I get that. Okay. He's just a little turtle trying to cross the road. That's all he's trying to do. Nope, no big deal.
Head probably looks like a turtle if you take that toupee off.
Oh, whoa! Wow! And done.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, fresh set of glue. Got that toupee glued back on again. Sometimes that moving traffic goes by so fast it just blows it right off the top of the head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Old Bill.
Old Bill. Azubike, by the way, is scheduled not to play in the Big 12 tournament for KU.
Yes.
He is out with a strained knee. That's one on for the Big 12 tournament for Kansas. For Kentucky, the other K team that wears a little bit of blue, they're, you know, Vanderbilt. Their freshman center, who just tore up Missouri at Kentucky, going almost, I think he went double-double in that game. But he is right now out of the SEC tournament, at least for the first couple of days, as he suffered an injury in practice. So that's huge news as Missouri gets their number one recruit back to the fold. Michael Porter Jr. is back after playing just 2 minutes against Iowa State and then going through one of the most oddly constructed, oddly reported, and just flat-out weird soap opera spy master novel kind of seasons.
Yeah.
But in the end, Missouri gets their man. And we'll see how many games it is.
Yep.
It could be, what, 2? Or it could be 10? You don't know.
You just never know.
Speaking of never knowing.
You never know what Dayton Moore is going to do
with the Kansas City Royals. What is he doing over there, Jay Sparks?
Releasing information that the Royals are interested in pitcher Ricky Nolasco from the Anaheim Angels from the Taco Bell near Messina. And if you're wondering, this is a pitcher who at age 35, this will be his age 35 season coming up. For the last 4 seasons, he's made $12 million a year. So this is not a... this is not one of your $2 or $3 million type investments, I wouldn't think. If the Royals are pursuing him as a free agent pitcher, this would probably be a couple years, and more than a fair shake of money.
Mm-hmm.
So
it doesn't make any sense, though.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
I mean, the last week and a half of stuff that we have seen from the Royals has made no sense. It's from a team that strikes you right now as you mentioned yesterday, reading the Facebook fan posts
and reacting to them. Right. And you can't afford to do that. Especially,
no.
I mean, even the big market teams can't afford to do that on any kind of regular basis. But as a smaller market team, there's just no way that you can act on whims like that and think that you're going to do anything worthwhile. You have to have a clear vision and clear focus. And these moves, taken in a vacuum, granted, it's just this offseason. We don't know the whiteboard plan moving forward year to year to year over the next 3-4 years. But I mean, taken in a vacuum, these moves make absolutely no sense and show absolutely no focus or vision.
It shows reaction.
Correct.
Rather than, in battle, they always tell you that you need to make the other team, the other person, other country, whatever, react to what you're doing.
Right.
And right now, it seems very much like Band-Aids. Dayton Moore's just reaching into the first aid kit, and he's coming up with a couple of 4x4 gauze pads. He's got some Coban tape, and he's got a little athletic wrap, and he's trying to piece together a ball team that's not going to cost him millions of dollars in lost season tickets.
But none of these names are season ticket grabbers.
No, and on the flip side of that, from a business standpoint, from a business perspective, look at what Houston did, and they lost some season ticket holders. But because they were upfront and honest with what was going to happen and their plan and their idea for the future, those season ticket holders stuck with them for the most part. They lost about 30%. They're about give or take a little bit. But the Royals are seem like they're trying not to lose anybody. And rather than marketing it as, hey, listen, we know what's going to happen. We have a plan. And this is your opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a team that's going to be really good in 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what we're seeing right now, though.
No. No, not at all. I mean, and the thing is teams get there early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the previous rebuild for the Royals.
Yeah.
They weren't really supposed to go anywhere in 2014. They were built for 15 through 17.
Right.
But 14, they ended up winning a pennant.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to game 7 of the World Series, you know, early. Look at the Cubs. Cubs were built for a couple years down the road, and they started their run early.
Right.
Houston, when the Royals played them in the playoffs, that was like 2 years early before they were supposed to be ready. when you go full tank and you really turn it over and you put those elite guys in, mm-hmm. yeah, it's rolling the dice. You roll the dice on a prospect versus a guy who you know what he's going to produce. But you put a bunch of those prospects together, you get actually a core, a nucleus of guys who grow together. And when they're together and they're there, they really have that chance to pop early. We've seen it more often than not when a team does it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that, as you saw that Royals team develop and be able to suffer and move through some of the tougher times, because they had grown up together, they were able to weather that. Thanks to our guests today. Really do appreciate it, their time. Athletic director and head men's basketball coach over Columbia College, Bob Burchard, Gabe Diarmin from PowerMizzou.com, Bill Conley from Rock M Nation. The podcast will go up in a little bit, so if you missed any of the show today, you can grab that podcast. Thanks to the fine people out in Colorado. Y'all are driving the numbers, so thank you. Appreciate that. Sign at the Big Boy in St. Louis. St. Louis welcomes Big Blue Nation to the SEC tourney. Hope you only packed for one night. And that'll wrap it up. Jay Sparks, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.